America behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. My name is Scott.
And I'm Ben. And Scott, before we get started, one thing we do need to say is this is a podcast concerning Toyota. Toyota, in full disclosure, is a sponsor on our site, but we're giving you the pros and cons, and we stay unbiased.
That's right. I mean, hopefully we'll just give you the positive and the negative here in this podcast.
Mm-hmm. And we'll start at the beginning, we'll go through the middle, and we'll stop at the end.
Oh, I like it that way.
Space is one of the most exciting potential areas of human expansion.
Yeah, agreed. But here's a question for you then.
What's that?
Why the heck is NASA, which is our space agency here in the United States, why are they studying car safety?
That is a good question. I think the answer makes sense, but I don't know if it's the answer a lot of people are expecting.
Well, see, this comes about because recently there was a news report. Mm-hmm. This is really going back to the whole Toyota unintended acceleration issue.
Yeah.
And it started way back in, oh boy, it seems like a long time ago, but it really wasn't. It was like 2007, I think.
Yeah, it was about, oh no, almost 4 years ago now?
Yeah,
about
I guess it was.
Three, four years ago.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And the findings that they came up with from this the study, and you would think it would come from the NHTSA, right? The
National Highway.
Yeah, you know the bit, right? But you would think it would all come from there, but now that's where the study originated. Of course, they were studying all of this as well, but they went to NASA to get some answers on their electronics and, you know, posing the question to some engineers, here's the problem. And they went to them. They actually conducted a 10-month study. This is 30 NASA engineers, and they wanted to try to find out the, you know, if there was evidence of unintended acceleration in these Toyota vehicles based on just electronics issues and, you know, gremlins in the system, I guess.
Yeah.
They went through 280,000 lines of code, apparently, to find out that there was no software issue. I'll just give you the quote from the story. No evidence that a malfunction in electronics caused unintended acceleration. That was the result.
Now let's hold on for a second, because that's a very big conclusion for people who don't know the details of what eventually became a recall situation.
A huge recall.
Yeah. Now let's see. I'm quoting from our auto editor's blog here. Right?
That's me.
That's you. Yeah. Who was that guy, Scott?
Out of some guy.
He just ran in.
Leaned in.
And ran out. Over 7 million vehicles were eventually recalled, and they were recalled for this unintended acceleration issue. Now, for a long time, people isolated it down to three possible causes, right?
Yeah, there were three total, including this electronic gremlin thing, the software thing, where they thought it was possibly electromagnetic interference. That was one of the issues.
Right.
But if you remember before this, they were talking about some physical issues as well, right?
Yeah, they were talking about the possibility of a design flaw that made the accelerator stick.
Mm-hmm.
And they were,
yeah, I think there was a shim fix for that one.
Yeah, there was a hardware fix for that. And then let's see, what was that other one?
The other one was a design flaw in the floor mat.
That's right. Issue
that it was actually trapping the accelerator pedal and causing this unintended acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people weren't realizing that the pedal was stuck to the floor, physically stuck to the floor. And, so both of those, of course, physical problems. The other one would be an electronic problem. After this study, they determined that, the other two issues that they knew about and have, you know, made significant changes to the vehicles that were affected. They found that those two physical aspects were the only two that really caused the unintended acceleration. It was not a software problem at all.
So riddle me this, Mr. B.
Mm-hmm.
Why the engineers at NASA specifically?
This is a super simple answer, and it just cuts right to the quick on this one, that NASA quite simply employs the best and brightest engineers. And you're going to find that in every article that you look up on this issue, including my blog post. It's just that it's that simple. NASA finds the best and brightest of the engineers and puts them to work. And who better to go to than this group that NASA works with? It's part of NASA. It's an arm, I guess, of NASA. But here's the weird thing. This is called the NESC, which stands for
NASA.
The NASA Engineering and Safety Center. And this thing is in it's called the Langley Research, that's a tough word for me to say, the Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia.
Okay.
And, this is the weird thing about this place is that it's not only, NASA. They don't deal with just NASA programs. They deal with outside sources as well. Like if, when the NHTSA said, we need somebody to investigate this, can you help us? They said, of course we can. This thing has been around since, so you probably are wondering what the NSC is, and you can find information about them on their own website. You can find it through the NASA site.
Right, NASA.gov.
Yeah, just search NESC and you'll find some information about this. And I went to the FAQs about this and to find out, all about the place, when it was formed, where it's located, what they do. And just from their website here, NESC was formed in response to the observations of the Columbia Accident Investigation Board. Remember when the Columbia failed to make reentry?
So this did not exist at the formation or founding of NASA itself.
Correct. No, this is a relatively recent group that has been founded. And, basically what it is, and this is again from their site, is that it's comprised of the best engineering expertise from across the agency. It also includes partnerships with other government organizations, national laboratories, universities, and expert consultants. So it's this big conglomeration, mm-hmm. this big group of people that are together to solve problems.
It's almost an engineering think tank.
Yeah, exactly. It's the country's best experts that have been brought together, and they take on any challenge that NASA may have, mm-hmm. any outside company may have, anybody that has a problem that they need solved by some of the best engineers that we have to offer.
This is a little bit of a tangent, Scott, but it kind of makes me wonder about the threshold for getting these people to do some experimentation for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I would guess that if you got the money, you got the cash, they'll do it for you.
Okay, so they do charge.
But
just checking.
Oh, I'm sure that they do, yeah. I'm sure that they do. But here's the thing, is that, what would they turn down? Because if it's an easy program or easy project for them mm-hmm. To look into, that's fine. But I'm sure they're going to give it their all-out effort. They do the goal, I guess, and this is just off the top of my head, I remember reading this in that section, is that they have an actual seal that they place on something when the issue is closed. And I don't believe that this one has been completely sealed yet, this issue.
Okay.
But, they've conducted all the research. Everything is done except for the paperwork at this point, mm-hmm. really. But they haven't officially sealed it and closed the case. But that's soon to happen.
So we have a case of, if you'll allow me to be facetious, mm-hmm. real life rocket scientists, solving some problems that, 3 years ago, we weren't sure whether or not there would actually be, a definite yes or no proof
mm-hmm.
coming forward
right.
out of this issue.
Yeah, and think about all the problems this caused for Toyota in the meantime.
Yeah.
Not only just the ridicule that they received and of course, they are responsible for the physical problems.
Sure.
The shim fix, they fixed that. The design flaw in the floor mats, they fixed that. But then there was this lingering question of the software problem, and that's really scary to a lot of people that, that's possible.
Yeah.
And so after this 10-month study from these engineers and, combined with the NHTSA, NASA, all these – the Department of Safety – or Department of Transportation, rather, released all this information and said that, it's definitely not an issue. So no worry about that at this point. But, when you think about the problems that it caused in the media mm-hmm. and, of course, just, word of mouth, the sales declined, of course. And I think they're coming back up now again. But Toyota took a pretty big hit. And that was, not only that, there were fines that were involved with this mm-hmm. because of, supposed cover-ups of what was going on. I think there's like a five-day limit when a corporation finds that there's a safety issue that they have to come forward with that information. And I think that's what they were fined. They were fined the maximum amount. It was like 16 million, almost 17 million at that point,
mm-hmm.
in addition to the cost of recalling 8 million vehicles to fix them. This is pretty big.
Oh, and also for anyone who hasn't heard, our podcast on automotive recalls, you can find a lot more information about the ins and outs, the details of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly. A recall is a major undertaking from any mm-hmm. corporation. And, when you're talking about 8 million vehicles, that's enormous.
Yeah, it's no small change.
So I guess wrap this all up just mm-hmm. in a nice tight little bundle. Mm-hmm. Again, no evidence that there was a malfunction in the electronics. That's it. I mean, that's the results.
Which is comforting, one would imagine.
I would think so.
To a lot of people, especially a lot of people at Toyota.
Well, Toyota owners also, and Toyota, potential Toyota owners, you know, that really wanted to make a purchase but didn't for that reason.
So let's go ahead and wrap this up here with a little piece of listener mail, maybe.
Sure.
Okay, Scott, we have a email from a person named Shalom. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Really?
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it
correctly.
Isn't
that hello or something like that?
S-H-A-L-O-M.
That's okay.
Yeah, and Shalom is in Idaho and said, "Hey guys, just listened to your Zamboni podcast. A few years ago, a couple of Zambonis were taken out from midnight drive to the nearby Burger King drive-through window. It was here in Idaho and was quite the talk of the town." And then he's got a link to it, and this looks like it happened in 2006. And from our earlier podcast on Zambonis, man, I got to say, I can't imagine driving one of those all the way to a Burger King.
It must have been close. It had to have been close. Zamboni, they don't have a very high top speed, do they?
Well, no, they don't.
I don't think so.
I don't know if you could even soup it up.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Drive through a Burger King. You know what? The other day I was at Burger King and I saw someone in an H2 Hummer and they had to get out of the vehicle to reach into the drive-through window. They parked they pulled 4 or 5 feet away, opened the door, got out, and did the transaction because they were so much higher than that window.
Oh,
it was an older drive-through that didn't have a higher window, because some of them have higher windows at this point for SUVs. But others that were older places don't have that. So I can imagine a Zamboni driver, 6 or 7 feet up in the air?
Yeah.
That must have been difficult.
They probably had to hop down.
But that would have been fun. And there's a YouTube video. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, the link he's got is a USA Today article.
Oh, okay. An article.
Yeah. Cool. I'm sure we can find videos of actually, let's go out on that note. How about this? Listeners, again, always, thank you guys for tuning in. But also, have you seen any particularly strange vehicles going through drive-thrus?
That's a good one, because I've seen tractors and all kinds of things go through there.
Yeah.
Farm country.
Let's see what people can come up with for that. You guys can hit us up on Facebook. You can talk to us on Twitter. Check out Scott's blog post for more information about NASA and Toyota. And you can always write to us directly at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.